Welcome to the Writer's Well podcast, conversations about writing from craft to wellness with Rachel Herron and Jay Thorne. Hello, Jay.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm okay. I'm hanging in there. How about you?
I'm in a little pain.
What's going on?
I did something pretty stupid.
You drank a lot of beer.
No.
I don't know how I would feel about that. I feel so sad and sorry for you.
That's like not even on my radar. It's so funny you say that.
What did you do?
So last Monday, after all the gyms closed, I decided I was going to start running. And I hadn't ran since I tried out for the JV soccer team freshman year of high school.
but it's been a minute.
So you know where this is going, right?
Yes.
Oh, no. So yeah, I mean, but since I started my workout regimen several years ago, I've been on like the exercise bike, the elliptical. I wasn't thinking like stamina. I was like, oh, I do 30 minutes on those. I'm good.
Right.
So I started like walk for 4 minutes, run for one, walk for four, run. I thought I'll ease into it, right? Well, I didn't go easy enough, apparently. Because
no, it's usually like run for 30 seconds. Walk for one, and then like you increase it that way. You start real low.
Yeah. So so last week I did Monday, Tuesday. By Wednesday of last week, I was up to like 2.3 miles. This isn't all running. This is like walk, run, right?
Yeah.
But by Wednesday, like my hips were hurting, my ankles were hurting, and I was like, okay, well, I'm not used to it. I didn't hurt myself. It's just like this is my body adjusting. So I kept going. And by Friday, I was like, oh, all right, I feel pretty good. So this morning I go out and I go to do it again. And like halfway through, both my knees, so I know it's not like a tear or anything. It wasn't like one knee. It wasn't a pop or anything. But both knees start aching. And I had to almost like hobble home. And I did not give my body enough time at age 49 to adjust to running.
I cannot believe you did that. That is so funny.
Yeah.
And I'm so sorry. Yeah. And you're supposed to increase distance by like 10% at a time.
Yeah.
Which means like, you know, run half a mile and then run 10% more next week.
Yeah. So I'm paying for it now. I've definitely got to dial it back. I think what I'm probably going to do is if I don't hurt tomorrow, I'm just going to walk. And I'm only going to walk, like I'll speed walk up to a certain point, and then I might do a minute and then build upon that. But I clearly started with too much too fast.
You were just really eager, and I understand that. I had never run a mile, and I didn't even run a mile in that presidential fitness thing because my teacher finally felt sorry for me and let me off the hook and let me stop trying to run. And then I signed up to run a marathon, and I did run the marathon. But like, so I am the same dumbass that you are.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And so much of it is it's self-perception, right? Because I still see myself as like a 22-year-old kid. Like, yeah, I'll just start running. What's the problem?
Goodness. Oh, I'm glad that you realized the error of your ways, though.
I don't know if I did. My body told me I was erring in my ways.
Well, let's think about it. Like, if you go out and run, then if you go out and walk and then run a little bit and then stop when it hurts.
Yeah.
Which, you know, and if it, and like the last time I tried running, my knees just flared up and they would not let me do it. And I went to the doctor and I'm like, well, how do I stop the pain when I'm running? You know, is there any exercises I could do? Or like, you know, is it on my IT band? Should I put on one of those straps? And she's like, no, you should probably not run for a while. And like, okay, I guess that makes sense. And I haven't gone out to do it again. But the next time I do it, I'll go walking. I'll run a little bit until my body says no. But you and I are both pushers.
Yeah.
Like I'm push.
Yes. And I'm an active person, not in like as far as physical exercise, but like I can't stop. Like I am right now not the person who's going, oh my gosh, what are we gonna, I don't know what I'm gonna do. Everything's shutting down. I'm not that person. Like I'm gonna try shit even if it fucks up my knees.
Okay, well, be careful. I'm
All right.
lecturing you a little bit on that. Hey, you know what I got, which I absolutely haven't used. So, no surprise there, but we just got it. Those TRX things. Do you know what I'm talking
I
about?
don't think so.
They're the exercise like bands. They're not like elastic bands. They're these bands that you hook to a door, and you could do all these crazy exercises
Oh.
with them, and like, you know, push-ups and extended blah blah blahs, and they look really cool. And I haven't gotten them out yet, but you can do a full body workout using body weight with them, and they look pretty cool. So I will try to use them and not hurt myself by the time we talk next week,
Yeah, we
perhaps.
don't want both of us making the
No,
same
we do
mistake.
not.
How did you do this week as far as you weren't feeling well? Did you were able to get some work done and kind of recover a little bit?
I got like 15,000 words done.
Wow.
I know. I just felt so much better starting last Monday when we talked. Like I was finally over it, and I got all my energy back. And for me, for the first time ever, I've mentioned on my podcast that, you know, I figured out how to work at home, and I'm really throwing myself into this as a place
Yeah.
to escape, which I've always been jealous when people say that, because I've always thought to myself, well, I can't escape in my work because I'm too distracted a person. You know, I'm just not that person who escapes into her work. And I am that right now, and it's
Yeah.
working.
Yeah.
So it does help that I'm on a huge deadline crunch. That always helps me. But yeah, I feel
Yeah.
pretty good. How about you?
How about your I wanted to ask you, 'cause we're in the same situation too, as far as we do teaching and coaching and different things like that. I know both did both of your Stanford and Berkeley class go online?
Yeah, they went online. I taught my first Berkeley class last week online while I was still sick, and that was deadly. It was like
Hmm.
7 hours of hell. But it went fine. And I have my Stanford classes are coming up next month, and they're just like a one day. I do these 1 day classes in the spring, summer, and winter, and then I do the semester long class in fall. And yeah, they're all online, and it's fine. I'm really used to, you and I are really used to Zoom.
Yeah.
And but it's tricky working with people who have never worked with Zoom, even though it's a really easy platform. It's just they don't they need it's hard for students
Yeah.
to get into the mindset of it.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
it's really, yeah, go on.
No, I was just gonna follow up and say, like, so what are you, are you starting to think about, your other revenue streams around coaching and education and what that means if that in real life is not an option?
Well, I've really only thought about it in one direct way, because I usually teach that semester-long class at Stanford in the fall, and they're taking applications this week, basically. Basically, every time you apply for it again, and every time I've always gotten it because I get great reviews and I love doing it and I'm grateful for it. And it is like 6 grand that they pay me to do that, and I'm thinking about just not doing it at all, because if there's a danger of that going online, I cannot teach 3 hours every Tuesday night online. I just,
Oh.
it's so hard, because we do a lot of in-class, not critique, but work together. And
Yeah.
I cannot imagine doing, like, how do I hand out their papers? How do I don't want to figure it out. So I'm like thinking to myself, how can I make up that $6,000 this year? And those kinds of things. So, and you know, you won't laugh at me. You'll be the last person to laugh at me. I am thinking in the Lindsay Baroker way, of, well, I better just make some more money, you
Yeah.
know. Now that I know how to work at home, and I know how to do, I know I can get 3,000 words a day done. Might as well write some more books and get some more money, you know, stuff out there.
Yeah.
I've been trying to think of perhaps like a nonfiction series that I can write quickly. Maybe I'll bounce some ideas off you someday.
Yeah.
I have a vague idea, but yeah, I am thinking about how to make a little bit more money in these tumultuous times. But I do want to say, like, how grateful I am and how aware of my privilege I am. Like, our this guy's fixing our fence, and he's awesome. He's like this leftist, like basically communist builder. And my wife actually asked him once, are you like an anarchist? Are you a communist? He's like, no, I'm non-denominational. And he came by to see if we could still afford to get our fence fixed, and he really wanted to
Oh.
ask us. He says, you might want to be putting your money otherwise. And my wife and I were talking to him, and we're like, no, we have this set aside, and we both work from home now. Like, Lala's just working from home. She's getting her same paycheck, and I'm getting almost the same amount of money at home, and I just feel so grateful. How about Joy? Is she going into work?
Well, she is. This is it's
Oh.
weird. I mean, 'cause she works at, for the Cleveland Clinic.
Yeah.
And she's a patient services. She's frontline. Like she's wearing
Holy shit.
masks, goggles, gloves. And, you know, she's pretty stubborn and she's a strong woman. And she's like, I'll take the precautions. And she's not doing anything stupid, but she's like, I can't, like, right. She can't leave the job. Like, we can't afford to have her leave. We don't have health insurance. And
we need those healthcare workers. It's like my 911 friends, like my 911 friends, my firefighter friends, they all have to go and they don't have a choice.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a weird thing, you know, like, cause I'm home with the kids. The kids are, you know, Ohio went on state of lockdown this morning. I doubt the kids are going to go back to school this year.
They're saying they won't.
Yeah. So they'll be here. And she's got to go in every day. At the same time, like, we're fortunate that we're not losing that income.
Yeah, that's really fortunate. Do you worry about her?
Yeah, I do. But like,
is she high risk at all in any way?
No, not really. I mean, she's pretty healthy. She doesn't have any underlying health conditions. She's not in the emergency room. She's at like a urology department. Is dealing with like the high risk population, like elderly people with underlying health conditions are the ones coming into their office every day. So it's a weird thing. Hopefully this, another couple of weeks and we'll be out of the worst of it. But yeah, it's strange.
It's very, very strange times. And I'm grateful to be able to still do this with you.
Yeah. Likewise.
Yeah. speaking of making money, we're not making any extra money on the Patreon right now, which is totally fine. Yes. And we thank every single one of you who are patrons. You can always go look at patreon.com/thewriterswell. And again, we need to say, like, if this is something that you need to cut back on, you can't give us your $1 or $5 or whatever you're giving us a month, then cut it off. We 100% understand that.
Yes.
We appreciate your support when you can support us. And when you can't, we will hold no grudge ever. Jay and I are not the kind of people to even go in and look to see who's left. So.
No, we haven't. We don't even look at that.
Yeah, I've never even checked with you on that, and I knew I could say that safely.
Yep.
So we're just grateful for whatever you can.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, last week's question elicited so many great comments. Oh my goodness.
I know.
This was episode 167. How do your feelings about the supernatural affect your writing? And this was especially in a sort of a crazy week with a lot of stuff going on. People wanted to come in and comment on this. So I thought it was
fun to think about something else for a minute.
Yeah, it was. Our first commenter in there was, of course, Christopher. And he had told he said he doesn't believe in the supernatural. But I thought the end of his comment was very succinct. You know, good news in all this doom and gloom, at least we're not being bombed.
And I wrote back, this is the first thing all week that I've heard that is helping my, I don't have high anxiety, but my anxiety is there and it's rather low and it just brought it down further. So
yeah.
I'm not being bombed right now. Fantastic. Thanks, yes. Christopher.
Yeah. I mean, leave it to the Brit to bring us some perspective, you know, like even in World War II, we weren't bombed. Pearl Harbor, but like not, you know, mainland, right? So
not here. Right. Yeah. Very good point. Thank you, Christopher.
Yeah. Carrie had a sensational story about her grandparents. So again, that is definitely worth checking out. Sarah said she thinks she might be an elevated horror fan.
I already kind of knew that about Sarah.
Yeah, cool. So hopefully she found some new movies and things to
check out. I didn't
know
what it was. I thought that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. let's see. Amy... she says she's an atheist, so she rejects superstition, but she has, it's hard for her because so many of her main characters are very Shinto.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it's not a formal religion, but a traditional superstition. So,
yeah, and I love the tension between her not believing and her characters having that superstition.
Yes.
That's kind of beautiful.
Yeah, definitely. Eliza came back in. We haven't seen her for a while, so... welcome back there, Eliza. We are glad you're here. She talked about time travel, ghost, paranormal romance, ending on a cliffhanger. So yeah, she's got some supernatural elements in there. Who else do we got in here? My God, so many. Let's see. Oh, Maggie. Maggie said she has many friends who have felt a loved one after they've passed, either just their love or a nudge. So that's definitely come up quite a few times.
I want to say, because nobody will go in and read all the comments in here, I just want to say one story that I meant to tell you and I completely forgot to tell you, and I just put it in the comments like 5 minutes ago. So I'm just going to read it. 4 years, and her thing reminded me of this, so I responded to her. 4 years ago, I was in a church readying it for a funeral when my best friend's son died in a car accident. There were exactly three people in the sanctuary. There was me in the back, and there was one of Sergio's friends who was behind me, also in the back, and his godmother was up front really far away. Someone tapped me hard 3 times on the shoulder for realsies. I turned around. I just thought it was going to be Sergio's friend saying something about the flowers or the programs or whatever. But he had gone outside and there was nobody behind me.
Oh.
And I just accepted for what it was, which was completely inexplicable. And I've never, that was the, like, it was 1, 2, 3. It was not missable. It was not my imagination. Something happened and I cannot explain it.
Wow. So.
I know, isn't that interesting? That, but yeah, those nudges that we feel, that was a thump.
All right. Well, I'm going to, we have so many, we'll be here forever, but, just want to shout out to Kim, Anne Marie, SJ, Becky Allreb, Jeff Elkins.
Jeff had Edwin. Some beautiful, wonderful things to say. People should come in and just read Jeff about his dad.
His dad's story is fascinating on so many levels. Hopefully we're going to hear more about that. Paul and Jasmine also. So thank you. And I think Steven Schneider even jumped in there too at one point. So thanks to everyone for all those comments. We really appreciate it. It was great to see such engagement on a week when things were not all that engaging.
Yeah, and kind of fun engagement. So, I'll say something right now because this show goes live on Wednesdays, right?
Yes.
Speaking of fun engagement, I am doing a 1-hour writers get together just talking about joy in your lives. It's like a joy-a-thon.
Nice.
On this Wednesday, it'll be the 25th at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 7 Eastern time. So if anybody wants to get into that Zoom meeting, just email me or tweet at me, Rachel Heron, or rachel@rachelheron.com. You got to spell it right. But if anybody wants to come over and get into that, I've already got a ton of people signed up for it.
Nice.
So it's just nice to escape the worry and dread for a minute and do something fun. We're just going to talk about joyful things.
Awesome. That is great.
Yeah.
Cool.
Cool. Are you ready for your question?
I am. We didn't realize. Well, I didn't even think about it.
I never realized
until this weekend. Yeah, that this is the last episode for March, because next week will be April 1st, and means we have a health themed episode, and you are up with a spiritual themed question.
I think I have asked you, kind of around this question. We've talked about things like God and stuff, but I wanted to ask a specific question, and we might be done talking in 3 minutes. I don't know. The show might be over, but that's okay.
It's that's all right. It's exactly. Unscripted. This is how we roll.
You're like, nope. Okay. Goodbye. So the question is, do you, and if you do, how do you pray?
I don't. So, all right.
Okay,
next week. No.
Happy writing. Okay, let's unpack that. I really want to know, because I have always loved and been I've been fascinated by the concept of foxhole religion since I was little.
Yes.
Do you know what that is?
Yeah. Of what? Of foxhole religion?
Foxhole religion.
Yes.
If you're in the foxhole, and you're getting
praying,
shot at.
Yeah.
Suddenly, these soldiers start to pray. These atheist soldiers start to pray.
Yep.
I've always kind of felt like I'm a little bit like that. I'm a little bit of a foxhole religion kind of person.
Yeah.
But if you were in that foxhole, or like when you were in that foxhole, when your dad was dying, do you send anything up? Do you ask for anything? Do you hope so hard it becomes a prayer, or are you so, oh my God. Okay. Tell me.
This is a great question. Like I'm giving you a very succinct answer, but there's more to it.
I know there is.
I think everyone knows us well enough to know by now that we're going to say something that's going to offend you at some point. And this might be the point for many people. And I'm not, it's going to be hard for me to say this without it sounding judgmental, but I'm just going to say it and people can take it for what it's worth. I'm very cynical when it comes to prayer. And the reason I'm cynical is because in my experience, I have seen people use prayer as a proxy for action. And I find that troubling, right? So now I have nothing, I have no judgmental feelings towards someone who wants to sit down and offer thanks or send good vibes to a higher power. Like, that's not what I'm talking about. It's when I hear things like, here's a good example. Every time there's a mass shooting, everyone says, well, let's pray. And I'm like, yeah, that's not gonna help. Like, again, I know some people are gonna be offended by that, but like, that is not the same as taking action. Like, whatever that action is, whether it's regulation, whether it's gun control measures, background, like, it doesn't matter what side of the political fence you're on. I'm a person of action, and I've always felt like prayer is sort of a cop out. Like, okay, I'll pray for you. I'm like, in lieu of what? Like, you know, so I think for me, the equivalent of prayer for me is meditation. But it's not necessarily about communicating with a higher power, or it's not about sending offerings or gratitude. It's more about just finding what I consider to be the higher power, which is that sense of calm. And maybe that's my God. I don't know. Like, I know we talked about religion before. I'm probably more agnostic than I am atheist, and I don't begrudge people who are religious. I just, it's really hard for me to, when I see things happening in the world and people's solution is only prayer, it's hard for me to grapple with that.
Absolutely. I love that answer. And that's so you. And I'm also very glad that you mentioned the meditation, because I really think that is your kind of prayer, using it really loosely as a term.
Yeah. I think I'm, you know, if I had to get close to anything that could be considered organized religion, I think Zen Buddhism is probably as close as I get. My upbringing in a strict Irish Catholic household has forever spoiled Christianity for me. That will never happen again. I did not have a good experience with that faith, and I'm not, some people do, that's great for them. But my mom says, oh, you'll come back to the church. I'm like, no, I will not. But I am really intrigued by spirituality, by world religions, more so as a historian than religion. And so I think Zen Buddhism and that idea of, you know, trying to find a middle ground and maintaining calm and treating everyone the way you wanted to be treated. I mean, that's a very Christian thing too, although that doesn't really happen in practice very often, or we wouldn't have had so many spiritual wars, you know, but,
Or physical actual wars over the last thousands of years. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. Do you pray?
I do now. And it's a very, you know, it's only since I got sober, and I was very religious as a child. I had, I really believe that I had this particular form of OCD called scrupulosity, which is it was an OCD that presented itself as always having to do exactly the right things in the right order in order to be saved. And I came to it naturally. Like, neither of my parents were very religious. My mother took me to a Lutheran church because she was Anglican, but we didn't have that here. And nobody really enforced any religion in my life. But I knew that if I didn't step exactly 7 times from, you know, the edge of my room to my bed before I got in bed, then we would all go to hell and it would be my fault. So there was a lot of that bullshit.
Okay.
And then that manifested at its apex in, I turned Pentecostal. I've ever told you this.
I don't think, I mean, I knew about that, the OCD thing. I don't think you ever told me you went Pentecostal.
I went Pentecostal in high school, because you either go like sex, drugs, rock and roll, or religion. That's my attitude. And my parents just hated it so much. They hated it so much. It was a holy roller church, speaking in tongues, swinging from the rafters, doing all of that stuff. And I really think that's it was the peak of my religiosity mania. And it really felt like a mania.
How did you get there if your parents weren't there?
I took myself. Like,
but
I met this girl named Nicole who sat in front of me as a freshman, and we became friends, and she was in this church, and she of course wanted to convert me to her church. And I was like, convert me, take me, I'm yours. And I went to that church until my senior year, when I decided I'd rather sleep with girls, and they were not into that. So I left the church, dust in my wake. But I really left God behind 100% at that point, because these, and I left for other reasons too. They really it really hurt me, and that whole, you know, homosexuals are going to hell kind of thing. And I had to get over that. So I was never going back to God. And when I got sober and went into AA, which I'm not supposed to say, but there I just did. my thing was, I was not going to accept God in any way.
Yeah.
That was it. Like, God is up on the wall, and I don't want to say I hate God, but I hated that form of God. And since I've gotten in there, I now know that when I ask for something when I ask for direction and guidance, that's all I'm ever asking for. I never ask for, you know, my sister to be healed, or to, you know, for me to get another $1 million, or I don't have a first $1 million, but, you know, not even a second one. being there kind of taught me that I allow myself to center myself in the mornings, and I ask for the universe, not God. I'm not a Christian, but this universal force that I do believe orders the universe in some certain way, I ask for me to understand its way, so that I may more easily serve others to help its way be, you know, happen in a way. And that may look like everything crashing down around me and everything going wrong. And I don't believe that as a tiny person, I get to ask the universe, can you please get me a red car? You know, right. That kind of thing. But in what I do now, and I found that because I just simply said help on like the ninth day of not drinking. And because somebody told me to pray, and something helped me, and the obsession to drink was just lifted like this in this miraculous moment. And it felt miraculous. And since then, I've just kind of relied on that to just rest in. So basically what I ask for, and it sounds childish in a way, but I ask for just the serenity prayer, grant me the courage to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That's the entire prayer that I have. And then, so that's kind of like the talking to the universe, or whatever this force is out here. And then that's talking. And then listening for me is meditation. And I think meditation is where I drop into that kind of thing that you were talking about, maybe that inner sense of knowledge, which is peace. I think, did you say peace or calmness? You said
yeah, peace or calmness. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I believe that's the place at which I am in acceptance of whatever's happening around me. And that's what meditation is, right? Is accepting the present moment without a need to change it, not without a need to change the way our bodies feel or the way what our minds are doing. And in that moment, I kind of know what peace is.
Yeah.
That's listening.
Yeah. So I think too, there's a lot of wisdom to be gained from religious scriptures. And I think that is completely different from religion, right? So like, here's an example. I know guys can't see this, but you'll see this is called A Calendar of Wisdom by Leo Tolstoy.
Ooh, that's cool.
Yeah. And this was something that
daily thoughts
to nourish the soul. Written and selected from the world's sacred text. So this went unpublished for decades because in communist Russia, there was a lot of religion in here, and that they were not going to publish that. And somebody found it and published it. And every day it's these little, just, you know, here and there, little pieces.
Yeah.
Some of them are from the Torah. Some of them are from the Bible. Some of them are from the Quran. Some of them are from the Bhagavad Gita. I mean, they're just... But it's like, and so it's not religion, you know, but it's wisdom. And so every day I open this up and I read.
I love it.
You
guys, he didn't have to reach far. That was like on his desk.
Yeah, it's right here. It's one of the first things I do in the morning and it's short. It's like less than a page.
Yeah.
And so I think for me too, I've always separated, like I'm going to take wisdom from wherever I can get it. Like, I'm not going to say, oh, I'm not listening to that because I'm not Jewish, or I'm not listening to that because I'm not Muslim. Like, if there's wisdom to be had in it, then I'm interested in it. But for me, that is completely different from the organization of religion.
I have no organization of religion. Yeah. I like my only organization I would come closest to is probably Zen Buddhism at all, because I love to do the sitting meditation. That's my jam. But otherwise, yeah, I love that you said that. I'm going to get that book too. Actually, I was talking to some of my writers in my master classes this week. I have the 90 days to done and the 90 day revision. They're going concurrently, and people are really struggling to get their work done. It's a fucking nightmare out there, right? And it's so loud. So everybody is struggling. So I made a completely agnostic prayer, which I will share right now. Maybe this is why I thought of this question.
Yeah.
But it goes like this. Please grant me the serenity to accept it when I cannot write, the courage to write when I can, and the wisdom to know the goddamn difference. Because sometimes we can't. And we just need to know it. Like you can go and bash out 200 words and want to stab yourself in the eye. And there are other times when you're just kind of lazy on the couch and you know you could write.
Yeah.
So
I love that prayer.
Isn't that great? That's my new favorite prayer. So yeah.
That's a really good question. I'm glad you asked it. Yeah, there's a lot to it.
On that. Yeah, I would love to know what is prayer, if you do, and if you do, how do you pray?
And again, we are not going to think any less of anybody.
Who, even if they come in and says, fuck off, Jay.
Yeah, really. Like if you come in and say, well, your soul's lost. Like,
right.
Like that's fine. We're not going to judge you if you are religious, if you do pray. I think we've built that community. I think people know, but I just feel like, especially in this time and with what's happening, I just want to emphasize that we're not placing judgment on anyone. And if you want to judge us, that's fine. We can take it. We're not going to care.
Give us a 1-star spiritual review on the God Amazon. Awesome. Well, thank you for playing with me in that one.
That was good.
A really good one.
Thank you.
Okay, my friend. Happy writing to you.
Same to you.
Next week.
Bye.